But we must not just throw caution to the wind because it's the Spirit. Sometimes because we feel it's the Spirit, then we just throw away doctrine. I've always told you that when you practice what has not been taught, then you can have error. When you practice what has not been properly taught, then error will creep in. When you teach what you don't practice, the other sleep, you just have academics. That means, imagine going to medical school and they just keep teaching you the Ark of Iota. I've forgotten a lot of things. I'm an ex-serviceman. You know, they start teaching ischemic stroke, hemorrhagic stroke. Say this one, these are the presentations. This one, this is the risk, these are the risk factors. And they teach you a lot of things. Am I trying? It's okay. All right. For a man that only knows Genesis. All right, so, you know, they teach all of that in school, in class, and then you graduate. There's a patient waiting for you in the lobby, in the cubicle. You say, what's the case? It's a stroke. I know about stroke, but now how do you treat it? Imagine you are a pilot, and everything you know about piloting, about aeroplanes, is on the book. So the first time they say, now start, fly the plane. I don't get it. So you can't have teaching without practice. You also cannot have practice without teaching. Imagine a doctor just comes to you and he says, my name is Kosoke. And he says, okay, are you the one treating me? He says, I'm not treating you. I didn't go to school though, but I've been doing this thing for a while. He said, what are we doing exactly? He said, I want to do kidney surgery. I want to remove one of your kidney. I want to put another one there. I want to do kidney transplant or heart transplant. There's, you know, and you just heard that he never went to school. You know, what does your heart, where does your heart go to? I remember there was a case like that. Was that 2020? I think it was during the lockdown. So they caught some guys. I think it was in Delta. Was it Delta? How many of you heard the news? You heard the news. About four of them, five of them. So they've been practicing medicine without license for a while, and it is successful for most, right? You know, these people that just watched what people are doing, and then they just go do it. They be successful for most. They be able to treat some major. Just, you know. So they caught them. Then someone wrote on that blog, commented and said, if they've been successful, just give them the license. That even the people who have the license, they don't get this kind of success rate. And I said, you are dumb. Because the people who have the license don't get this success rate because they don't want to risk the person's life. So you can imagine someone who doesn't have anything to lose. There's no license, that he's not going to get removed from the MDCN, yeah? You know, nobody's going to revoke his license. He doesn't even know that what he's doing is bad. Like some people that go to all these traditional bone setters, you know, and then they just go there, bah, those ones, and they know it. He said, I want to hear care, and they give you the care. they bring your neck and they're throwing your neck like, bah, ah. Hey! In the hospital, they don't do it like this. All of the therapists, they don't do it gently. Because you don't know a lot of things. Are you getting me? So again, practice and academics go hand in hand. You can't say because it's the things of the Spirit, you don't teach it. And you can't say because you are teaching it, you don't practice. That makes sense? Does that make sense? 1 Timothy 4. How did I even get it? Okay. 1 Timothy 4. Now the Spirit, verse 1, speaks expressly that in the later times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. What will they do? What with their doctrine? I've told you that seducing spirit in the New Testament is towards doctrine. When I preach another doctrine that is not the doctrine of Christ, the epistle calls it a seducing spirit. That is a spirit that seeks another. Alright? The same thing with witchcraft. Witchcraft also now takes a new form in the New Testament. It's not the one that is flying about. is the one that is jealous. Alright, so he explains this doctrine in verse 3. He said they will forbid to marry, commanding to abstain from meat which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing should be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Verse 5. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, you'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine, whereunto you thou hast attained. Can we read verse 7 to verse 9 together, everybody? Exercise yourself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profits little. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is, and that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. Alright. So, it says, refuse profane and old wives' fables. We started explaining this on Thursday, and we said, what is the profane? Profane means useless, right? Old wives' fable is, I told you, it's a slang. I want to believe it is so because it is used just this one time in the entire Bible. Okay, entire New Testament Greek. Used one time. So when you have words like that, it's oftentimes a word that is reigning in that time. Imagine if I'm writing a book now and I put, I don't want to use the one I used on Thursday. Give me another one. Something that is reigning. Slang. Like if I say it, now everybody understands. Kamala, I'm turning to you. Don't fail me. Huh? Breakfast. Thank you. So, that was okay. You are the last person I'm expecting supply of the spirit like this. Breakfast. When I say breakfast, breakfast, you're not asking breakfast in context. Now, someone who is listening to this probably in 20 years from now might not, breakfast is breakfast. He said, what are you talking about? And I said, I'm going to say, Nigeria will start breakfast. Just don't know. That means I'm more like it. You know, he said, so you imagine you see myself breakfast and maybe Sajora talking after service and with Brother Mola and I say, you don't chop breakfast. And you say, but we are fasting. Hi, Brother Mola and I eat breakfast. But his own fasting has been doubled. The breakfast we're talking about is that someone broke up with him, right? He probably lost on a relationship and all of that. So again, that's a slang that is reigning now. If you are listening to this teaching probably in 15 years, it might not be just like some other slangs that we have forgotten. You get what I'm saying? Every time you say Jogolo, Jogodo or something. When last did you hear that? Who uses that again? Look, that's slangs. You know, now you don't have all of those again because times are changing. And I want to think that old wives is such one. When you're talking about something that is silly, so Paul calls it old wives' fables, which is a silly talk. So he says, refuse. Back to 1 Timothy 4:7. So this is Paul talking to Timothy, and he says, refuse old wives' tales. And what was he talking about? The doctrine of seducing spirits. The doctrine that he mentioned, forbidding to marry, abstaining from meat. He's saying all these things, put them aside. Rather, exercise yourself to godliness. That is, instead of exercising yourself in all of these things, why not exercise yourself to godliness? In verse 8, 1 Timothy 4:8, he now says, because bodily exercise profits little. And we said, looking at that word, somatikos gymnasia. Bodily exercise. Somatikos. S-O-M-A-T-I-K-O-S. S-O-M-A-T-I-K-O-S. Of course, you know soma is body. That means the things of the body. Gymnasia, where you have gymnasium from. That's what exercise. G-U-M-N-A-S-I-A. You know, somaticos gymnasia, which means the training of the things of the body. So Paul comes and says, bodily exercise profits little. And you might be tempted to think he's talking about basketball, or he's talking about football, even though some people don't have to play football in this church. But I would walk in love. Bro, how are you? God bless you. Bro, Michael, you think I love God? You don't know how to play. You don't know how to play. I know the people that know how to play, bro. Faith. Bro, well. Every other person. I don't know. You show yourself later, and we'll talk. Bro, Papa, are you expecting me to mention your name? You don't know how to play. Does it? Does it? Thank you. Alright, so, you might be telling me that you think he's talking about, someone say, Pastor, you play football. Balloon the worst. You know, so, you know, Nebuchadnezzar thinks he's talking about football. You know, 22 men running around each trying to score a goal. So he said, "Bunny, exercise prophecy too. No, press up, call up. Which other one? Sit up." I need all the exercise, don't mind me. You know, and he said, "His prophets lead you." So, Paul is advising us to exercise. No, that's not what he's saying. Again, that only happens when you pick a verse and you run away. And I've told you that's not a proper Bible student. In fact, when you do that, you just read the verse and you give it a meaning, you are a false teacher. You don't give any verse in the Bible a meaning. You find out the meaning. I've seen people, you gather and say, "What came to my heart?" I don't care what came to your heart. The truth is what came to the writer's heart. The writer determines the meaning, not you. So I know sometimes we have goodwill. Sometimes we are using it for the good. But no, who determines the interpretation of a text? The writer. I can't write a letter and then you start interpreting it for me. I say, "This is what you're trying to say." No, you don't know what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say what I'm trying to say. Right? The only according to that matters is according to me. You get what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying? So again, bodily exercise that Paul is referring to there will refer to those things he mentioned earlier. Abstaining from meat, forbidding to marry, the things that have to do with the body. What is he saying? He's saying, of course, by implication, it goes beyond meat. I was telling you on Thursday, that will not go into dressing. You know, the way you dress, sometimes it has a form of godliness, a form of piety. That sister is wearing long skirts. She's using scarf, she's not using earring, she doesn't talk to men. Even in preaching of the gospel, she doesn't talk to men. Are all nations is half nation. She doesn't anything unholy. Now you go there unholy. So men are unholy. I'm holy, amen. Yeah. So what else? She doesn't use all this wig, weave on, all these earrings, big earrings. What else? Give me now, ladies. The things that can make a sister look just, the tie scarf. She doesn't wear trousers. So scared I was. Amen. Let's just leave that one. What else? If anybody she's seen on the road, whether it's her husband or not, he calls them my lord. Then they say, that is that! She's godly. No. Paul is saying, all of those things she's doing, it profits. Little. And the word little does not mean small. It means temporary. That is, it doesn't span into eternal life. It's the word Holy Ghost in the Greek. Not Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. O-L-I-G-O-S. That is, it is not permanent. The profit is not what you are forever. The profit is for the moment. So it says, bodily exercise profits temporary. The things of the body, for example, you find someone who doesn't take layer meat. And there's nothing wrong with that. But like I said, whether you take it or not, you are not edified, you are not de-edified or whatever that will be called. There's no edification in eating it, and there's no edification in not eating it. The only difference is that you did not eat it. Amen. So I come and what's his name? Bright. Bright comes to me and says, "Me, I'm a new convert. Bright is a pastor." So Bright comes to me and says, "He wants to eat layer meat." But I just got it. In fact, probably I was a Muslim before. I'm trying to dissociate myself from everything that is done in that tradition. I know how many surah they will count, right? I know the stuff they will count on the meat before they now start roasting it, ethically, well roasted, and they start putting all those things inside. I know all those things, right? Amen. Sorry, the one they are doing now, is that the one they will kill them? They are always lying. Alright, so, I know all of those things. Then, Bright tells me that there's nothing there now, I can eat or not eat. You know, sometimes that can affect a new convert's faith, right? So he starts thinking, are you sure this one is a Christian? I guess. So the only way that me not eating it will profit me is that it helps my faith. It does not affect my fellowship with God. It doesn't affect his fellowship with God. That makes sense? It only profits in the sense that it just helps my confidence. So when Paul says bodily exercise, it's not pressure. Bodily exercise is when you are training yourself in the things of the body. The things of the body will not include dressing, abstaining from meat, baptism, circumcision. He's saying that all these things are good. There's nothing bad in it. I've always told you, there's nothing wrong in circumcision. There's nothing wrong in baptism. I don't have an issue with whatever you do in the swimming pool. What is wrong is when you know the rest, right? You know the rest. Alright. So, there's nothing wrong in those things, but they are prophets. They are not that helpful. They are only helpful in circumstances. So Paul says, bodily exercise, that's not football, that's not gym. Bodily exercise is that form of godliness that is physical. I'm putting it in inverted commas. That form of godliness that tends to the things of the body. You can't put tongues in that class. Tongues tends to edification by the Spirit. But the moment I start looking at my dressing, I start looking at, oh, am I using necklace? Am I not using necklace? You know, there are some climatic gospel. I've told you that before. One GO said, all his members must not wear trousers. The trousers, anyone that wears trousers is going to wear well. Don't know, but that's body exercise. Then he traveled out to their branch that was in US, and everybody was on trousers. And he said, leave them, it's because of the climate. Oh, suddenly, righteousness is climatic. Nah, if you're not going to put it on, don't put it on. It doesn't make you better than the person who's putting it on. If you like, put on the earrings in the world. Where's time? On the church. Alright. If you like, put on earrings in the church, in the world. If you like, put on all the accessories in the world. When you're coming to church as a sister, put on a crown of righteousness or not. Put on a crown that is reaching the roof. Then wear your, is it this? What is it? Stilettos. 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 Your husband knows anything, sir. You wear your letters. I will not even look. I just sis, is there a festival today? It doesn't make you less righteous. Amen. If you like, as a, they say men are not meant to wear skirts. You like wear skirts. I don't know which men are meant to wear. But you see Igbo people, tie wrapper, you don't talk. South people tie wrapper. That one is not sin. But when ladies wear trousers, it's sin. Nobody has ever preached against the people that tie wrapper. I just don't understand your own godliness. But it's fine. Amen. So, when you say bodily exercise, it's not pressure. Let me just recant that again. No, let me just reiterate that. It's not pressure. It is a form of godliness, in inverted commas, that tends towards the body. Look at Colossians 2. Paul gives us an example of that. Don't forget we're teaching responding to the move of the Spirit. Alright, you there? Colossians 2. Alright. Are you there? Can we read from verse 20? Let's from verse 10. So that you can know that you are complete in Christ. Colossians 2, verse 10. Want to go? And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised, with circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins, of the flesh by circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith and the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins, and circumcision of your flesh, as he quickened together with him, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, nailing to the cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink. So, hey, wait, what is he doing? He's giving you those things, the things of the body. Say, let no man judge you in meat or drink, in respect of one holy day, or the new moon, or the Sabbath. Someone claims to me, there's a church that doesn't celebrate Christmas. I say, so what happened? So why would they not celebrate Christmas? The birth of our Lord. I said, is it your birth? Did our Lord complain to you? Say they are saying that it is a pagan holiday. What concern you? Are you celebrating it? He said, yes. He asked me, am I celebrating? I said, anything that has to be celebration in this world. Like do a Google festival. Are you going to give me meat? Like do which other festival? We are going deep ocean festival. Why are you planning on attending? Whatever celebration, it doesn't hurt me. I might not wear the same clothes with you there, Well, if you bring the meat,
all things are God's.
Amen. And all things are ours. Alright, so, he says, let no man judge you in respect of meat or drink. Now, someone said, oh, thank you, pastor. It means that I can drink anything. Yeah, even poison. It doesn't mean you can drink anything. That means, pastor, can I just take 2 bottles? Of what exactly? If it's of Fanta, you know, I don't have an issue. Except you're diabetic. Well, yeah, or stout. Why do you say the prophet? Why do you think he said the prophet little? That little, don't take it away, amen. Amen. In the instances where you know that it's beneficiary to other people's faith, then you take on. Amen. So if I know that my not eating meat will make you grow spiritually, I'm not going to eat meat for the rest of my life. If I know that my not drinking something will make you stand firm in your faith, I'm not going to drink it for the rest of my life. See that little? God will judge it. Amen. Alright. So let's go. So he said, in respect of drink or in respect of an holy day, of a new moon, of Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in the voluntary humility of worshipping of angels, intruding of the things which have not seen, daily popped up by his fleshy mind, and not holding the head from which your body and joints bands having nourishment ministered and knit together increase with the increase of God. Verse 20. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to the ordinances? What are the ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using. That is, as you keep using it, you discover that it's temporary. Which things indeed have a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. But if you are risen with Christ, seek the things that are above. That makes sense? So he's saying, these things, they are not bad. The new moon, Sabbath, all of that. But seek the things that are above. And that's the same thing he just did in 1 Timothy 4. So go back there. So we have addressed the issue of physical exercises, right? Body exercises. So you see a church going for a marathon. They put banner in front. Because body exercise profit it. No. Paul is not concerned about whether you jog or not. He was concerned, it's more doctrinal than your membership clad in the gym. Alright. So it says, body exercise profits little. That is, when you do these things, when you abstain from earrings, when you abstain from meat offered to idols, it says, there's profit in it. It's helpful. And I've given you instances where it's helpful. On Thursday, I gave you instances in 1 Corinthians 8, right? Where Paul talked about meat offered to idols, right? Then it says, if meat will cause your brother to sin, right, to stumble. So why are you eating it? So again, it profits little, but something is more profitable. Verse 8. Can we read verse 8 together again? 1 Timothy 4, 8. Holy exercise is, godliness is helpful unto all things. Having the promise of the life that now is, and that we, so again, it gives it contrast. Godliness is profitable now and forever. Godliness does not expire. And what is godliness? It's the word Eusebia in the Greek. E-U-S-E-B-E-I-A. E-U-S-E-B-E-I-A. It means our response to God. Of course, it's not just God. Your response to deity. Your response to divinity. So it says, bodily exercise does not get past this world. In fact, the profiting is for you and I. God doesn't look at it. Whether you are circumcised or not circumcised. That's why Gentiles are also saved. Regardless of their circumcision. Regardless of their history. So it says, body exercise profit little. But you see, godliness, our response to God. Our response to God is profitable in the life that now is and that which is to come. Then he gives us what our response is in verse 12. He says, let no man despise your youth. Be you an example of the believers in word, in charity, in conversation, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Can we verse 13 and 14 together? Give attendance to reading, exhortation and to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy, with the laying on of hands of the elders. Alright, so again, it tells you what godliness is. Godliness, our response to God will now be seen, in that I'm an example unto believers. So, don't forget what we're looking at. We're looking at responding to what? Come on, responding to what? the move of the Spirit. And, you know, because we're charismatic, we need to know how to respond to the move of the Spirit. Sometimes we don't know. And that's why you see a so-called pastor is baptizing people with Fanta. And people put down their head because they feel that anything that anybody says that is from the Spirit, you don't have to understand it. But that's gibberish. In fact, it is the Spirit, you have to understand it. But that's more reason why you have to understand it. Because it is the Spirit. Amen. So someone tells you, you have to sleep with another man that is not your husband. That's what the Spirit is saying. He had a coup there. He can catch you, sir. It's a papilla. Let me to the end of Matt Chelsea. So you sleep to the hey, it's not like I want to do it, or you want to do it. Only shin or blue. You say, it's not like I want to do it. It's the Spirit. We have a teaching on that. The Word and the Spirit. You go listen to it. It's about 5 tracks. The Spirit will not say what the Word of God is not saying. And that's the number one fact check that gives you everything out. Whatever the Spirit is saying today is what the Word of God is saying today. So if God's Word will not tell you to go commit adultery, then the Spirit cannot in any wise tell you to go commit adultery. In fact, because we are so charismatic, you know, some Christians actually listen to madmen. So a madman comes along the street and I'm telling Malachachu. And because you have watched a lot of Nollywood movies, you think God can talk to a madman. Sorry, God cannot. So he thought he can use anybody. No. Why has he not used the devil for you? A God is everywhere, even in hellfire. I say nonsense. Sometimes when you just listen to yourself again, I always tell people, record yourself and listen to it later. Because I've done it for myself several times. Sometimes you now listen to yourself and say, am I this foolish? Am I an engineer or Galatian? Record yourself. Sometimes, just learn to record yourself. Just do it. And listen to it the next day. When you are calmer. You will say, the Spirit actually tell me this. But because of the spur of the moment, there's the keyboard, there's everything. You should just go, the Spirit say we should all lick sand. The Spirit say we bring Cain to church. As long as I can flog you. It's been a long time. Last time I flogged was probably, I was teaching. I taught a YA class at the time, then I taught a jam class at the time. And they gave me no choice than to flog them. Because they were not going to be respected. I mean, this is water. Why are we waiting again? If you want to be flogged, me there, I want to flog someone. That's what I've been looking at. I always do big boy in that lesson. I always say, I'm a disgrace. So I already made up my mind that there's nothing we do very right the next day. No matter what he did, I'm going to flog him. So as he came, he was gentle. I said, why is this one gentle? He knows today's judgment. So I asked him a question. He got it right. I said, who told you? Say nobody told me. Say you're lying to me. Say nobody told me. Why would anyone tell me? Am I the one you're arguing with? So, you said the Spirit asked you to bring Cain. And everybody start bending. You are flogging the devil. In the name of Jesus. That's some exercise. You will end up sweating a lot. But the devil is not here. He's among you. So if you want to really flog the devil, say la. Amen. The devil does not operate in the ground. The scripture teaches that his activity is among men. You go listen to that teaching. That's now demons, right? His activity is among men. So if you want to really flog the devil, you will start from that brochola, that assistant pastor, that cell leader, that, it's okay. Flog him. Amen. Right? How do you get the devil and this? Spirit, alright. So I think you're responding to the move of the Spirit. So we say, Paul teaches that our response to God outweighs now. So we need to know, how do we now respond to what God is doing by His Spirit? Right? I want to know, how do I respond to when the Holy Ghost is moving? Because there are people that, we have a service, a believer's meeting, and everybody is speaking in tongues, everybody is edifying one another, and then you just keep quiet. Like, I don't know what to say. So you are like me many years ago, when everyone was getting filled with the Holy Ghost. They were ministering to everybody and they were getting them filled with the Holy Ghost. And I just kept quiet. And I told myself, I said, I'm not going to speak a single syllable of tongues here. They want to cover me. They want me to have the sin against the Holy Ghost. Which is, of course, later, of course, you already know that that's not speaking in tongues. Huh? If they were speaking in tongues, how many comedians have already sinned against the Holy Ghost? The thing to sin against the Holy Ghost is, you are speaking in tongues when you are not filled with the Spirit. That's not it. Sin against the Holy Ghost is what? Unbelief in the gospel. So that's what, that's no forgiveness. In fact, Jesus already told, he said, every sin has forgiveness. But you see one, when you don't believe the gospel, there's nothing that God can do about it. There's no forgiveness for what has been, the solution is already here. Amen. What teaching will you go and come to like that? Salvation through faith? Oh yeah, just get dialogue of prophets? The Elias is. Okay. Just pick any one. Alright. So again, how do I respond to the move of the Spirit? Amen. Am I allowed to keep quiet in a believer's meeting? Am I allowed to just look? Am I allowed to talk? Am I allowed to dance? Am I allowed to spin? Am I allowed to rejoice? How do I respond to the move of the Spirit? Genesis 1. So let's look at the first place the Spirit of God was mentioned in the scriptures. I want to look at what was the activity that the Spirit did. What do we know about the Spirit? Does that make sense? Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. Don't forget, every proper doctrine begins with Moses. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Again, this is a salvation text, right? That is, this is the life without Christ. This is the life without the light of God. Deep, dark, formless. And the Spirit of God moved. The Spirit of God moved. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. So we see that the first activity of the Spirit, the first activity of the move of the Spirit, is that He said something. So if I don't know how to respond to God's Spirit at all, I know that when the Spirit gets to moving, there will be utterance. When the Spirit starts moving, there will be utterance. There will be something to say. There's nobody, I've told you before, that there's nobody full of the Holy Ghost that keeps quiet. When you're full of the Holy Ghost, you have something to say. We sang that song earlier. I have a son. I have a tongue. I have something to give. The gifts of God are within my reach. They are my common place. I prophesy. I edify. I have something to give. I'll be blessed and be a blessing. So, because you're full of the Holy Ghost, you have something to say. I was in a believers meeting some 8 years ago. Yeah, 2014. At Unilag. You know, I had a believers meeting. At the Lagoon Front. I had a lot of meetings at the Lagoon Front. But there's this particular one. And there's this friend of ours. You know, so we had a Holy Ghost meeting and we were rejoicing, singing, laughing by the Spirit, talking by the Spirit. You know, he had healing too. And I just discovered that she was quiet all through. At least one I know. And she was quiet all through. She was just in, yeah, I don't know, you know what I mean. Yeah, you know what I mean? Have you tried getting someone filled before? And the person just in, I was one girl, I had to stop that one. That's not what I asked you to do. I asked you to speak in tongues. There's nothing coming by doing like this. Because you're expecting it to just land on you. You don't even know when you are saying it. No. We all know what we are saying. We all know where we are saying it. Right? The Holy Ghost is never going to come over. I said, wait, stop that one. You are never going to get filled this way. Let's do it the right way. Speak in tongues. I cannot. That's what I was telling her. I said, I cannot. Now she speaks in tongues anyhow. I cannot, it's not coming. I don't know, it's not going to come. You are the one that will speak it. I said, ask you for as the Spirit gives them utterance. He has not given me. In case he's in your knees down to escape. I said, they spoke in tongues. Who spoke? He said, they. They spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So you have the Spirit, you can speak in tongues. The Spirit did not give me. I said, your whole past Pentecost. That's to hold the hands with another person so that she can identify with fire. Amen. She spoke in tongues. Alright. How did I get here? Alright, so the first activity of the Spirit was what? Huh? So, if I claim that I am in the move of the Spirit, then I must be speaking. I must be saying something. We ought to now respond to that move. See someone that responded to that move. Enoch. In chapter 5 verse 21. Enoch lived 65 years. That's 65. And begat Methuselah. That's the funny thing. You live 65 and you gave birth to someone that lived 969. Yeah? Have you? 969. And your father is 65 years old. He's not a very selfish guy. Alright. So Enoch lived 65 years old and begat Methuselah. Enoch walked with God. And I've told you, when you see walk with God in Genesis, is that the walk with the Spirit? Come on. What teaching was that? The Lord is my shepherd. Alright. When you see walk with God, that's the walk with the Spirit. Is that the walk with the voice of God? Eh? Who did not walk with it? Adam. Alright, good. Alright, so when you say Enoch walked with God, that means Enoch was found in that move of the Spirit. Don't forget, on Thursday I explained to you that that move of the Spirit is primarily what? Come on. That move of the Spirit is primarily what? Salvation. Just like the leading of the Spirit is primarily salvation. Just like, what else by the Spirit? The joy by the Spirit is primarily in salvation. The love of God by the Spirit is primarily in salvation. The peace of God is primarily in salvation. So from salvation, we now take in wells. Wells. Streams. Amen. Amen. Some people say dimension. But from salvation, every other thing comes. So when you say the move of the Spirit, it's not primarily in a believer's meeting. The move of the Spirit is primarily salvation. He moved in our hearts. So when you say the Spirit is moving, then if the Spirit is moving, people will get saved. Because the first utterance that will be in the move of the Spirit is the gospel. So in that gospel, just like everything we teach again today, you know, we still go back to the gospel, Abby. That Christ died. Because of his death, that's why we have this. So again, the gospel is still our message. The gospel does not just get a man saved, the gospel gets a man to grow. If after you got saved, you stop hearing the gospel, then something is wrong. The gospel gets you saved, and the gospel gets you growing. Amen. Amen. Some people think that gospel is just for you to get saved. No. Even after you get saved, you still keep hearing, the gospel. But I'm going to teach you walking in love. It's the gospel I'm going to use. As that Christ died, he forgave our sins, so we also now forgive others. That makes sense? So, I'm using what he did in his sacrifice to teach you that you should forgive others. And that how Paul did it too. Ephesians 4:32, right? As Christ has forgiven you, so you now forgive others. So again, everything is taken from the gospel. So when you say the move of the Spirit, and you're talking about believers meeting, you must always allude it again back to salvation. That is, the first time the Holy Ghost moved is when you got saved. So you cannot say you don't know the move of the Spirit. Let me say it again. The first time the Holy Ghost moved in your life, it was when you got saved. So you cannot say you don't know when the Spirit is moving. Because you are a product of that move. You are a product of that move. So, Enoch was found in that move. Enoch walked with the Spirit of God. And because he walked with the Spirit of God, did Enoch yield to utterance? Jude 14. I've always told you, if someone says open to Jude, and your partner, your spouse, whatever is called, and I say, which chapter? Go and see yourself leader. Shake. There's something to say. Let's just study Bible together. Let's go on that Obadiah today. Say, which chapter? Chapter 75. Jude. Can we read verse 14 together? Okay. Everybody wants to go. And Enoch also, the servant from Adam, prophesied of this, saying, the Lord comes with 10,000 of saints to execute judgment upon all, to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which and of all their arch speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. These murmurous complainers and that. So Enoch prophesied. Why? Because Enoch walked in the move of the Spirit. So there's nobody that walks in the move of the Spirit that keeps quiet. In fact, when the Holy Ghost gets moving, the first sign is that everybody is talking. And I showed you that in Acts 2 on Thursday. Right? Right? In Acts 2, we saw that when the day of Pentecost was come, they were all gathered in one accord in one place. And there came a mighty rushing wind, the sound from heaven, like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And cloven tongues as out of fire. Everybody saw it. And they spoke with tongues, even as the Spirit gave them utterance. So again, when the Holy Ghost is moving, people are saying something. In Numbers 11, Numbers chapter 11, are you learning something? Are you learning something? If you are sleeping, say amen. Alright. Some people just said amen. That means you are sleeping. Sorry, that's a temptation, have you? Alright, Numbers 11. So don't forget, the first activity we see in the move of the Spirit is utterance. So you can't say you are in the move of the Holy Ghost and you keep quiet. I want to say this. It is a sin to be in a believer's meeting and you're just like you ask some people to rejoice. We rejoice in glory! Yes. What's this? He don't tell you, I'm so full of joy. And he's talking to you like, I'm so full of joy. Joy, I'm very happy with what you have done. What's this? Are you under arrest? Amen. When you are full of joy, you are not raising your hands, you are raising your legs. Amen. You have no hands to raise. You have hands to throw. Amen. Okay, but there's no drum. I told you something in 2017. Who can remember? Who can remember? That was 5 years ago. The beat is faith. God bless you. Faith is the beat. Amen. You don't need drums. Faith is the beat. You dance to it. Hallelujah. Don't worry, we'll go to believers verse. Faith is the beat. That's Peter talking to you. He said, you rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory. He said, have you not seen, you believe. So your belief is what makes you joy. Amen. Well, so you cannot be passive in an Holy Ghost meeting because the Spirit of God is not passive. The Spirit of God is moving. He's moving and he's saying something. He's saying something and he's doing something. He's doing something and he's discerning. Don't forget, in also the move of the Spirit, we saw that he separated the light from darkness. So in the move of the Spirit, you will find discernment. You will find discernment. You will find separating light from darkness, which is primarily in the gospel, but we can also have it in our meetings. I've explained that in the Daniel prophet before. Numbers 11, that's what I asked you to turn to. Verse 24, and Moses went out, and he told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered 70 men of the elders of the people, and set them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spoke unto him, and took of the spirit that was upon him, and gave it to the 70 elders. And it came to pass, that when the Spirit rested upon them, they said nothing. Eh? Come on. Eh? They prophesied and what? They didn't stop. When the Spirit rested upon them, they kept talking. So, sorry. If you claim that you have the Holy Ghost and we are in a believer's meeting and you claim you are in the move of the Spirit, you know you have to say something. That when the Spirit rested upon them, these people that were, they were just 17 elders, mere people. But when the Spirit rested upon them, they started talking. They prophesied and they did not stop. Amen. Amen. You know, I'm in the move of the Spirit. Come on, I'm in the move of the Spirit. Can we just speak in tongues a bit? Don't forget, you can't be full of the Holy Ghost and keep quiet. No, just a bit. Just, we are just working our own. No? Nothing special. This is our natural realm. The supernatural is the natural to us. Let us over here. The case salaba. Preno sianda. Iptakos. Giando lek siba. Praniado sahapadash. Etus zumale. Dandia katusala. Praunda shinans the left on. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So everyone who is full of the Holy Ghost is saying something. I showed you in Joel 2, verse 28, Joel. And if you know, if you don't speak in tongues, you don't know what you're missing. You don't know what you're missing. That's the only way you can bring heaven to earth. We have a lot of Christians. In fact, when I was in school, in secondary school, people used to think that people who speak in tongues, some people thought they were heretic, some people thought they were overdoing things, like you don't have to just speak in tongues every time. But someone said, every prayer in this church, you just start speaking in tongues. Nobody's even saying anything in English. Why is it paining? Didn't the Bible teach it? In fact, what Paul taught is that pray always in the Spirit. So, if there's someone who is disobeying you, that's Ephesians 6:18. Praying always in the Spirit. In 1 Thessalonians, he said, see, pray without ceasing. For you to know that he's talking about praying in the Spirit and the quenching of the Spirit. That is, the without ceasing is by you not quenching the Spirit. Don't stop. So it's not special, like I would say. Because this is our natural realm. When I was much younger, I'm still young, when I was much younger, someone came to me and said, people think you are running mad. I said, why? Hey, you're always talking on the road. Like I said that in 2017. He said, you're always talking on the road. I don't give a hoot what you think. I told him, I don't care what you guys think. You guys sing on the road too. I go by people and they sing Davido and Whiskey and whatever you sing on the road. And nobody holds you. Nobody says, why are you singing on the road? Whatever song you want to sing. No, everybody just goes by you and if you just enjoying himself. So when I speak in tongues, why can't you just think I'm enjoying myself? Because that's exactly what I'm doing. Amen. To you it might be overdue. To me, it's actually normal. Because I'm born of the Spirit. It's not a confession. It's a reality. I am actually born of the Spirit. This is my everyday reality. I'm not trying to get into the Spirit. It's the natural realm. The supernatural is natural to us. Amen. The supernatural is our default. When we speak in tongues, we are doing our thing. When we heal the sick, we are doing our thing. Like that's our commonplace. Amen. That's normal thing to do. Jesus sent out the 70. And they came back and said, demons have said to us in your name. And he was shocked at their shock. So why you guys rejoicing over that one? That's normal. Demons are rejoicing. Demons are out in your name. Their sickness are... So give me the real news. Isn't that it? Don't rejoice about that one. Rejoice because you are born of God. As I said. And that one means for your name to be in the book of life. You are born of God. That's why you should rejoice. Rejoice because you are found in Him. So our rejoicing is not, oh, we are going to now start healing the sick. Glory! That doesn't need glory. That just needs laying of hands. Amen. Amen. I've told you before, you don't pray for the sick. You heal the sick. Let's pray for the sick. In the name of Jesus. Easy. Nah. As you are going through Kaduna to get to France. Just take the flight. Amen. Just go heal the sick. So it's natural to me. It's natural to me. When I'm doing the things of the Spirit, I'm actually doing my thing. So stop seeing it as something special. Are you listening to me? Stop seeing it as something special. It is yours. Joel 2. Isaiah now. Verse 28.
And your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall dream see visions, and also upon your servants and those on the housemaid. See what he's saying. He's saying it will come to pass in the last days. That's afterwards. Of course, the last days is not 66. What's the last days again, please? Eh? After the resurrection, when the Holy Ghost is given, that's when the last days started. So to stop. In fact, you see Paul saying, in these last days, and you wonder, Paul, how many years ago, 2,000 years ago, You say in these last days, it didn't start with you. No, you are not that important in the course of time. People have gone, people have come. The last days right when the Holy Ghost was given, amen. But you are important. Is that fine? Amen. Alright. So he says, when the Holy Ghost is given, or when Jesus rises from the dead, I will pour out my spirit. And we said this is Genesis 1:2. That is because the move of the Spirit doesn't stop at salvation. Because the gospel doesn't stop at salvation. I told you, whatever God did in salvation, He's still doing today. At salvation, if you listen to what we taught on Thursday, at salvation, He led us by the Spirit. Have you? From where? From darkness to where? Come on, from darkness to light. Is that Genesis 1, 2? He led us from darkness to light. Genesis 1, 2 to 3. Does this still lead us from darkness to light? Right? When things appear dark, when things appear like we don't have a way, does God's Spirit still take us from darkness to light? So it didn't stop at salvation. Whatever He did, the leading at salvation is still leading us today. The move of the Spirit is at salvation is still moving today. So if He poured out His Spirit upon all flesh at salvation, He's still pouring out His Spirit today. I'll pour my Spirit upon all flesh. And when my Spirit is poured out, what's the first thing that will happen? Joel 2:28. What's the first thing that will happen? Your sons and daughters will what? So we see that the activity of the Spirit will be utterance. When the Spirit gets to moving, your sons and daughters will say something. So we are His sons and daughters. We are His sons and daughters. There's no feminism in this one. Everybody prophesies. He has said, even your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions. Upon your servant and your housemate. Again, this is not talking about the poor people. No, that's not what it's talking about. It's not talking about people who are assisting you at home. It's not talking about house helps. That's not what it's talking about. Your servant and housemate is the same word that was used for prophets. Servants. Servants of God. Doulos in the Greek, Ebed in the Hebrew. Your servant. Prophets were called servants. That is upon the prophet and upon handmaids. Again, what did Joel just do there? What he just did is tell you that it's not just male that are pastors. I think we taught this in church and ministry gifts. Where by saying upon your servant and ask him an handmaids, what he had just done is he's telling that both male and female can be ministry gifts. I taught that for substantial amount of time. I know feminism is what is in the world right now and all of that. And if you want my own token about it, I'm just going to tell you, because Paul will say, you have known my conversation, you have known my purity, you have known my way of life. My way of life is, I've told you before, that nothing can be equal. Nothing can be equal. Night and day, the sun and the moon, God and man, nothing can be equal. You can strive for things to be better. I'm not saying anybody is better than anybody, but really there's no equality anywhere in the world. But you are the best of you. You get that? You get that? There are things you can do that she cannot do. And there are things that she will do with ease and you cannot do. And that's how God made it. The funny thing that your so-called feminists just go, they are looking at the C-suits. The corporations, they want to be the CEO and all that. Nobody talks about female being bricklayers. You don't complain about the amount of females in bricklayers, the amount of female on the war front. But CEO, you like that one. But let's do that one for another day. Amen? You can pick it up after service. Alright. But you know I'm a feminist true and true. Alright. Pastor, are you sure? Very well. Because most Africans don't even know what feminism is. Alright, but there's no feminism in the Bible. Everybody gets to prophesy. Amen? So I can prophesy. It's not for pastors. It's for everyone. He didn't say, your pastor shall prophesy. No. He even started with your sons and daughters. Everybody. This is not where we now start looking at, it's for cell leaders. No, I've always told you that believers meeting is not for the pastor. A teaching meeting is for the pastor to teach you. That's what I'm doing now. Prayer meeting is for the prayer coordinator to lead you. But you see, when it comes to believers meeting, it's everybody's meeting. When a pastor now starts coming and he's now taking charge and he's the only one giving the word, giving the everything. No. That's not the believers meeting again. In a believers meeting, everybody has something to give. 1 Corinthians 14. So he says, your sons and daughters will prophesy. 1 Corinthians 14. Say, I can prophesy. I am so full of the Holy Ghost. I am so full of the Holy Ghost. God is talking through me. That's not everybody saying it. I'm so full of the Holy Ghost. Have you also told you that? Also, that in the move of the Spirit, you can't afford to be quiet. Everything you say matters. I'm so full of the Holy Ghost. God is talking through me. Someone is going to get blessed because I'm in this service. Someone is going to go home comforted because I'm in this service. Whatever God has to say, I want to say it. Whatever God has to do, I want to be the one doing it. Because I'm his mouthpiece. I've told you that in that move of the Spirit, we are the ones moving. I said on Thursday, you can't afford to be quiet. Because listen very well, the Holy Ghost is not going to move an inch if you don't move. You are the one that makes the Holy Ghost move. So when we say, the Holy Ghost was present in that meeting. If you see that meeting, that's because everybody there yielded to the Spirit of God. Nobody there was trying to form. Some people think by being quiet and just that you are mature. You are not mature. In fact, you are very infant. I mean, fertile. In fact, you are the baby, pediatric. Those who are full of the Holy Ghost, they don't do forming. Forming is for the world. In the church, we show our true color. Amen. You know our true color? Tongues. You know our true color? Healing the sick. That's our true color. They show me your true color. You really want to see it? Who is sick in your house? I'm a child of God. I'm not doing this for Christianity. I'm not doing all these ones. We are doing God's will with power. We are doing God's will in full assurance. Knowing fully whether he's alive today. And if he's alive, that means he's still talking. Amen. If he's alive, that means he's still talking. That means he's still blessing people. That means he's still giving instructions. That means something in your heart, he can tell me, and I'm going to instruct you about it. Because he's alive. If we have a Jesus that is not alive, then we can just keep quiet. And just open chances that somehow we'll get comfort. But he's alive. He's in you, he's in me, he's in him, he's in us. And you know what? He's there for the talking. He's talking through me. He's speaking through me. It's not spooky. I know a lot of people have seen the things of the Spirit as, you know, it's anytime the Spirit is moving like this, everyone just becomes, let there be silence. The Spirit is about to talk. The Spirit cannot talk in silence. We have to be talking. Amen? Amen? And there's just one woman that used to interpret everybody's tongue. Say, someone has speaking tongues. Another person has said, this is what he's saying. How do you know what I'm saying? There's no precedent like that in the Bible where someone else interprets another person's tongues. That's not ever happened. It will not happen. But let's leave that one. You go listen to tongues and interpretation. We have about 12 hours on it. So just go and drown yourself in that one. When you are done, come back. You don't have a single question on tongues. Alright. He's speaking through you. You believe that? I've been coming to you. Let me have something for me. Amen. I don't need your money. Just you to the Spirit. Amen. He's speaking through you. He's speaking through you. He's speaking through you. So if you have never done it before, calm down. It's not calculative. It's the same way you had an idea that just came to your head. How about that? I just have an idea now. Why not let's do this? You know that same way? Yeah? And a lot of believers have actually heard God talk to them before, but they just said, there's something was telling me. It's not something. Be bold to say it. The Holy Ghost told me. How about that? What if it's not the Holy Ghost? It doesn't matter. Who hold it against you? But as much as you're speaking in tongues, and that's why, when you are going to into a believer's meeting, like now, if you were me, if I was the one sitting there, I'm already speaking in tongues. As I'm writing, I'm just speaking in tongues. What that does for you, and I've told you this before, that tongues open the door of the supernatural. I've always told you that before. If you don't know this one, know this very well. Tongues, of all the 9 gifts of the Holy Ghost, tongues open the door of the supernatural. If you don't know what to do, just start speaking in tongues first. Every other thing will fall in place. You know why? Because tongues is what you say. And you can control what you say. You might not be able to control what happens, but you can control what you say. So even in healing, you know, just to heal, to lay hands, you might not be able to say the person will get healed or not. In a vision, you might not be able to say, this is what I want to see. But you know, in tongues, I can say this is what I want to say. So I have control, perfect control over utterance. And that's why Paul will say, of all the gifts of the Spirit in the church, when we are gathered together, he says, utterance is here. On outreach outside, listen very well. On outreach outside, what takes preeminence? Power gifts, right? Miracles, healing. Because when you do healing, come on, everybody's listening to you. I recall some years at Foco, Ibadan. You do healing, everybody, the entire community is gathering. There was this young boy. The hand was shortened. He used to play football a lot. So the hand like this since he was young. He had a shortened hand. I love that. So my friend and myself and Jide and Gabe also went there. And Jide was just said, he just said, there's no way these people are going to pay attention to us. Why not let's do something? So we went to buy water, pure water. So the boy was the one that everybody knows him in the area. And he asked the boy, he said, do you want your hand to grow straight? The guy laughed. He said, why are you mocking me? He said, no, I'm serious. He said, but one condition. Call everybody around. Tell them that someone wants to do a miracle. And that's some goodness, right? He's not testing it on thou. Sometimes you put Jesus to test. You put God on this line. It's me and you. If I'm disgraced, it's your name too. So, say, call everybody in your house. So it used to be a face me, face you out. Say, call everybody around. Tell them that a miracle is about to happen. So he called everybody. He was like, you know now, you're the bad people. From upstairs. How are you doing there? How are you doing there? So he said, what to do miracle? And then we were young. He said, what to do miracle? So there was like coming up. Gathered over 100 people. Then we looked at ourselves. So who's going? And then Jide, you're the one that started this. He's not in Nigeria, he's pastoring somewhere else. Yeah. I said, you're the one that started this. So do it. Yeah, okay. Toba Gebe. In Yoruba. Toba Gebe. In the name of Jesus, this hand, this shortened hand, will be straightened. I'm telling you, now I'm a physiotherapist, I can tell you that you can't find that kind of contracture released in that short time. And we had the hand straightened. People were going on their knees. And I say, you know, church, we didn't have a church. We were just 17, 18. We didn't have a church. We didn't have any. Someone grabbed my leg. I will follow you people. There are many problems in my house. Say, if you don't come now, I'm going to kill you. Do you have anything I have in my house? I have a son like this too. Guy, we don't even know what the gospel. So on outreach, you have the power gifts. Then the utterance, actually. Then the revelation. Because after your power has to follow the gospel first. And you must do it inspired. Now I just changed something. Because I've always told you that after the power, then you have the revelation, right? And the utterance. I moved it up. Follow it with inspired speaking. So, exactly that's what Stephen did. That's what Philip did in Damascus in Acts 8. Immediately Philip was done casting out demons and there was joy in the city. Immediately he picked up his sermon. You have to have an inspired speaking immediately after. That makes sense? That makes sense? Then you can have revelation in your speech. Alright. But in the church, when we are gathered, we don't show each other a miracle. Because there's nobody that wants to believe the gospel yet. We have all believed. So in the church, you are not trying to heal. And you are not trying to show. We are trying to edify. We are trying to strengthen one another. So the first gift that will come in the church will be what? Utterance. Followed by revelation. The least will be power. 1 Corinthians 14. I asked you to open that. So this morning, you know, I'm a healer vessel. This morning, I'm a minister of the power of God. You believe that?
Yes, sir.
Those are the back. This morning, I'm a minister of the power of God. Yep. So, 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1. Follow after love and desire spirituals, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaks in tongues speaks not unto men, but unto God. So anytime you are speaking in tongues, and someone say, you are disturbing me, tell the person I'm not talking to you. That used to be myself in the hostel those days. So I go, you are disturbing us. I wasn't talking to you. When you are talking to me, I was talking to God. And last time I checked, your name is not God. So you can go and sort out yourself. Go talk to someone else that you like to. Something like that. He said, he speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands tongues. Not him. Howbeit in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. Now, I've taught this before in the teaching we call love in our Christian meetings. So if you can actually lay hold on it, please do. I taught this from 3-4 years ago. That you observe 1 Corinthians 12. Listen very well. It's about the gift of the Holy Ghost, right? Now concerning the things of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 1. I will not have you ignorant, right? You know that no man speaks that speaks by the Holy Ghost. Verse 3 calls Jesus accursed. Then in verse 4 it says there are diversities of gifts but the same Spirit. Diversities of administrations but the same Lord. Diversities of operation but the same God that works on and all. In verse 7 it now says, for the thing of the Spirit are given to every man to profit without, right? Then verse 8, unto one is given the word of wisdom, and the word of knowledge, then he kept mentioning all those things. Then, in chapter 13, Paul now goes to, love is kind, love is patient, love is this, love is that. Then in chapter 14, he goes back to tongues and interpretation. And a lot of people have wondered, if it's a single letter, why did he take a break? Why did he go from the gift of the Spirit to talking about love, then went back to the gift of the Spirit? He did not. And I taught that in that teaching. He did not take a break. Again, the church in Corinth had all the gift of the Holy Ghost in operation. You see that in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 7. They had all the 9 gifts of the Holy Ghost working among them. But what they did not have working is what having. They didn't have love. And so Paul now turns to them and says, you know what? The reason for the gift of the Spirit is love. So why am I going to speak in tongues? If I'm in my house, I just speak in tongues, I edify myself, I'm blessed. But the moment I come to church and I see Paul, I must look away from myself. I must speak in tongues and now look at a way that that tongues can benefit you. And there's no way my tongue will benefit you except I interpret it. So interpretation of tongues is a show of love. And that's why you find 1 Corinthians 13 sandwiched between 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14. Does that make sense now? So when it tells you in chapter 14 verse 1, now follow after love. What is love? Desire spiritual gifts. I would rather desire that you prophesy. What's prophecy? Prophecy will not be that I have my tongues, then I interpret my tongues. That is now an inspired speech. Prophecy. So, listen very well. Prophecy is, I come to you and I have something inspired. Something that I didn't think of. Something that I didn't think up. I didn't fabricate it. I did not conjure it. It is an inspired speech by the Holy Ghost. And that would come by tongues and interpretation. That makes sense? Does that make sense? So when I have that, in a Holy Ghost meeting, you are not looking for you to be blessed. I told you last week, right? That in a Holy Ghost meeting, the focus is not you to be blessed. The focus is you to what? To bless others. And that's why I say, love does not seek after its own. So love, 1 Corinthians 13 is not a marriage, sorry. It's not a marriage sermon. It is a gift of the Holy Ghost sermon. That is, love in our Christian meetings does not seek after its own. I will be kind with spiritual gifts. Something like that. So I wouldn't just have tongues. Believers come, some people come together and all their tongues and everything, it's just for them. No. There are times for that. But you see, when we have Holy Ghost meetings, your tongue is not for you. So love does not seek after its own. It seeks to edify others. You know something? Look at now verse, let's go on. Let's read verse 4 and 5 together. Want to go? To 6. I want everybody. 1 Corinthians 14. Verse 4 to 6. Everybody want to go? He that speaks in the tongues edifies. But he that what? Edifies the church. I would that you all speak with tongues. But much more. Like what? Prophesy. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues. And says the what? That the church may receive. Verse 6. Now brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall it profit you? Except I speak to you either by what? Or by. This morning we have these 4 things. Amen. We have revelation. Pray for me as I close. We have knowledge. We have prophecy. We have doctrine. We have things to give. We have things to minister. And we are precise. Because we are of the Holy Ghost. We are experts. Forget that you have not done it before. Forget it. I forget it. I recall my first time of ministering healing to the sick. I've always told you. It was a setup. I just finished teaching around UMC Road in Ibadan. Many years ago. Over a decade now. You know, I just finished teaching on faith. It was such a strong message that night. It was a vigil. Everybody was already lifting hands. And then the pastor came and he said, young evangelist. He said, sir? He said, we have someone here. She has a lump in her breast. He said, is it big? He said, is that obvious that we all know that she has? And with this faith that you just preached, I know that you can heal the sick. I've told this story before. I said, bring her. And while I was saying that, while they were going outside, I told Jesus, I said, if you don't heal this person, let me say what I said again. Because I don't want that precedent. I don't want you to start doing that. I said, you have to heal this person. So when she came, I looked at her with the eyes of spirit with this word. Who was very strong on my life that time. And I ministered it into them. And you know what, since then, I've always ministered healing to the sick. I'm very sure over 1,000 has been healed. It's not to make any boast. I don't have any boast. First, I'm not the one healing the sick, it's Jesus. I recall the first time I had to give a word of knowledge. I wasn't sure. I felt in my head, I felt, am I not fabricating this? Hope it's not like I'm just thinking something away from what's normal. And I was not going to say it. And I just mentioned, I said, is there someone here that is, and someone, that just gave me the boost I need. Okay, let's go. Do you have someone that is called? He said, yes. Oje Jesus. And so we just cycled. And since then, you actually can function with the 9 gifts of the Spirit. Don't let this age deceive you. Don't let this Christianity age of people just going to church and they come back on Sunday afternoon and that's all. They have nothing to eat. That's not what Christ intended. He intends that we are learning. We are functioning. Amen. We are supplying the Spirit. So this morning, you have the supply of the Spirit. This morning, you have the supply of the Spirit. You have something to give. You have something to minister with. You are not empty. You are in the move. Woo! You are in the move. You are the move. And we know that in the move, there's prophecy. We know that in the move, there's clarity. We know that in that move, there's comfort. In the move, there are instructions. What to do, when to do, how to do it, where to go. In the move of the Spirit, we have that. In the move of the Spirit, we see what we ought to be doing. In the move of the Spirit, the brokenhearted is comforted. In the move of the Spirit. That's what we have this morning. A common fellowship. Precise men of the Spirit. A common fellowship. Men who are not going to allow the devil to intimidate them to keep quiet. You're not going to allow that. You're not going to allow that. You are going to speak. Don't let it happen. Pastor, I said that. Is there anyone here that knows any Isaac? Nobody knows. Calm down. I remember I ministered to someone sometime. I think I told the leaders. You know, I think I mentioned the name. And it was the mother's name. I told you the story. It was in a believer's convention. I mentioned the person, I said, do you know so person? He said, doesn't know. That was not my 10th year of ministry of the Spirit. Actually, I know what I'm saying. So person is close to you. She said she doesn't know the person. And she wasn't lying. She had actually placed a call to the mother and discovered that the mother was actually, that was the mother's name. But she didn't know the mother, she only knew the mother by nickname, Lily. So she knew mother by the nickname. She didn't know the real name. So when I said, she said, oh, it's true. That the mother said her name is so. She said, then let's talk. And you're not the only one. Jesus met that woman by the well in John 4. And Jesus said, where is your husband? She said, I have no husband. What would you have thought? Jesus is young. Jesus doesn't have the word of knowledge. Because she actually didn't have a husband. But Jesus said, where's your husband? So sometimes you have to actually step up. So he said, where's your husband? I have no husband. He said, that's true. Sometimes that question is meant to lead you to another question. So that's true. Because the person you have now is not even your husband. And you have been with five before. John 4:18. Anyone said, how did you know? Well, you know, from the beginning, she had just said, I have no husband. What is with the spirit? But sometimes you just take the next step. Amen. It's leading you somewhere. It's called a word of knowledge. Sometimes they don't come all together. Sometimes they don't come in whole. Sometimes it's coming in beats. In beats. In beats. Let us hear not hear practice in beats. In beats. Sometimes it's a name for us. Sometimes it's a place for us. No. Have you ever been? He said, sorry, is there anyone here who traveled to Kaduna recently? Or who traveled to South Africa recently? It's in peace. And he said, there's nobody. But maybe it's not someone, maybe it's a relative. But you must not stop because God is about to say something. I recall there was a meeting like that, and we were in a group, and someone just said, was there anyone that just traveled to France recently? And no one. No one, because we all knew each other. Except one person. So nobody has ever found them. And he said, the person says, okay, maybe not trouble. Did you have anything to do with France? And he said, his brother wrote an exam to go to France, to go study there. And he says, tell him not to go. Say, why? I just told you, tell him not to go. He has something better. And if he goes, he's going to miss it. He has something better coming in the next 3 weeks. He said, he has written it. They told him to come next week. He said, let him wait for 3 weeks. Let him default. Let him forget that one. See how we started. Who traveled to France? Nobody. Who has anything to do with France? Nobody really. Someone's brother. Are you getting that? So are you seeing how we minister by the Spirit? Is that clear? Because you're just starting. So sometimes it can be like that. As you get better, as you grow more in the Spirit, you'll be more precise. But don't allow here and there now stop you from talking at all. I'm an effective minister. And I don't stop. What God wants to say this morning, He will say through me. What God wants to show this morning, I am the one that will see it. This morning, I will know things that no man ever told me. I will see things that no man ever showed me. And I will say things that are only by the mind of God. Speak in tongues.